of our message is found in Exodus chapter 20, verse 8 to 11. Exodus chapter 20, verse 8 to 11. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. God bless the reading of His holy word. Today is the second day of Chinese New Year. Last Friday night, it was a grand reunion for the whole family, Chinese New Year's Eve, as you ate together and enjoyed the family fellowship. And to the younger generation, you paid respects to your seniors, your father, mother, grandfather, grandmother, perhaps. And then they respond by blessing you with Hong Pao. To foreigners, it is red envelopes containing money. New crispy dollar notes, $10 notes. And if you are fortunate, $50 notes and $100 notes. I've known of some who are very, very generous. And then our Chinese New Year ends tomorrow. Take note of this. 3 days in the whole year of 365 days, you get only 3 days vacation according to Chinese ancient culture. I still remember when I came from China, there were all the provision stores set up by one man, Tao Ke, who lives upstairs, and he has a very faithful servant who manages for him, carrying big bags of rice and so forth, who stays downstairs in some corner of the shop house. And all he enjoys is a 3 days Chinese New Year, and all the other days he has to work. With the advance of modern times, the laborers are more brave. So whether the Tao Ke likes it or not, he takes off 1 week. And now it's 2 weeks for construction workers. I learned this from my Mersing contractor who built our resort. He told me, "I'm sorry, your work must be delayed by half a month. The construction workers, they go home to some other part of Malaysia and they will not come back until then." At Chinese New Year, they say 恭喜 发财, meaning may prosperity come to you at this Chinese New Year time, especially. And why do they say that? Because the philosophy of life in the Chinese is money, 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 money. And to wish you that you have prosperity at Chinese New Year is the best time. Because you have money, you can have pleasure. You can live a life of ease. But then, the Chinese culture teaches us that when we die, everything is over. No prospect beyond the grave. I asked my two Chinese contractors here, Mr. Guo and Mr. Lim, and always ask them to come to church. And they just laugh it off. What's the use of coming to church? If you give us work and we can earn money, that is more important. Because after we die, we are finished. But sad to say, this is the belief, erroneous belief of those who are from cultured countries, Europe or America. And they say the same. It is interesting for me to relate to you a story. Just after the war, 1946, I was an interpreter in the British government, and I returned to work. Then soon we received a communication from the government to invite us to a very important lecture. By whom? By the highest officer of Great Britain over Singapore and Malaysia and even Southeast Asia. He is the High Commissioner for Great Britain in Southeast Asia. His name was Malcolm MacDonald. His father was Prime Minister of England and he was Colonial Secretary. And to be sent up here, it was slightly a demotion for him. But anyway, he traveled about in a helicopter and he took over the palace of Johor Sultan. And he stayed there, every day coming to Singapore in a helicopter. His philosophy of life, advising us young people to study hard, obtain some degree, and as we get higher in the job, we can have plenty of leisure and pleasure to enjoy life. And he expresses this by himself being photographed and published on a magazine with a broad smile holding the hands of two young Dayak girls in semi-clad clothes. And then he said, when I get up to 85 and I die, that's the end. But I'm satisfied for that life of enjoyment. Isn't it sad? The Chinese would be worse. No prospects beyond this life, but the answer to the statement, it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this judgment. And particularly old ladies will say, well, we cannot help it. We will have to go to hell or Hades to suffer. Of course, they do not know about hellfire, but they know that it is a place of suffering. So the Chinese life is a sad life. They are governed by the horoscope, from which comes all our animals. Every year has one animal, like a patron saint. The Chinese New Year that is passed is called the Year of the Horse. So it is reported in the papers about Beijing that it had 5,000 births in the Year of the Horse, which is 1,000 more than the previous year. What's the reason? All the mothers time their births to be within the Year of the Horse. And then, now that the Year of the Horse has passed, here comes the Year of the Goat. The goat cannot compare with the horse. So again, they time their births also to be the Year of the Horse. No wonder it had 1,000 more births than the previous year. Moreover, a Chinese life is governed by fate. And in view of the fact that sin has come into the world, naturally we meet all kinds of troubles and difficulties. And in order to avoid this evil fate, but we Christians are delivered from sin, and Christ has given us a new hope, they must always choose dates that are auspicious. Choose the date for the wedding of your daughter. Choose a date for starting a new business. Choose a date for travel. And in my boyhood, I humorously observed people going to choose dates from a fortune teller. And it was at the Tekka market, in the old marketplace. And there sat an old Indian with a little cage and a little parakeet, green color. And he would spread all the cards, and the little bird would go and pull one of them. And then he looks at it. And then he said, Bale, this date doesn't seem good to me. Try again. Such blindness and such sadness. And remember, according to Chinese culture, all you enjoy in 1 year of rest is 3 days. Chinese culture. There was no such thing as a weekly Sabbath. Now we come to the text. And here so wonderfully it tells us that this is a weekly Sabbath. 52 times more than the Chinese. And in this, you must stop all work for holy rest, for Sabbath. And not only you, but your sons, your daughters, your manservant, your maidservant, that is the slaves in those days, the servants, domestic servants. And not only that, also your cattle. your working animals, oxen and asses, they must all be given a rest. And all the foreigners and strangers, aliens who live in the community, enjoy the same Sabbath. You see how wonderful the law of God is. If you go to Brunei and they are born in the state, you still remain stateless. And there are many, many things, many privileges you cannot enjoy. But God is a wonderful God. And He takes care of everyone. Now the Sabbath in the Old Testament was on Saturday, the seventh day, which is Saturday. But then when the European nations received the gospel and they became Christian, they received both the Old and New Testament, and here the Sabbath was quickly absorbed by the Christian nations into the Christian Sabbath. Now it is this contrast, two kinds of Sabbath that have come to the Chinese Sabbath and the Christian Sabbath. In the Christian Sabbath, which is weekly, we enjoy what? A wonderful fellowship with God. When you come to church, and we know that we will one day live in the house of the Lord forever, as we now come to the house of the Lord here, I'm very sure there are many older couples who come to church and they sing all the hymns and hear all the words of comfort from Scripture. They have hope and they have confidence that they will be there one day. That is why in Western churches, if the young people will not come, at least the old people will come, because they are waiting to be uplifted one day. At least the pastor will take care of them. There was a rioting in Malaysia at one time, and many Chinese came over here, and one man came here and died. And he looked for the Methodist pastor because he was a Methodist. But the pastor said, "I don't know you." Then somehow the matter came to me. By the time I took care of the funeral, it was a bad smell. But the law of necessity requires that such people be disposed of as quickly as possible. Well, I know that our older folks come here not because they want to make a sort of a booking, but they know that they will be well taken care of. It is also a time of worship, including all the laws of rest and Sabbath. How important it is to worship God. That's why we are here. There are some churches that entertain or show magic to keep the congregation. Here we have a solemn worship, and that attracts the people. For us, therefore, not to attend church on the Lord's Day and to go swimming or picnicking on the seashore on the Lord's Day is making a very great error. So Hebrews 10:25 tells us, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as a man of some is, but rather to exalt one another, inasmuch as we see the day approaching, the day of the Lord coming very soon. And so, it is very important for us to take good care of what we do on the Lord's Day. The Lord's Day is to refrain from business that may be lawful on other days, but we should keep away from it. It should not be a shopping day. You can shop on other days. It should not be a car washing day. Again, we want to keep the Lord's Day holy. These many things a Christian should understand. But how the Lord's Day is to be sanctified, I'd like to read from Catechism number 60. How is the Sabbath to be sanctified? The Sabbath is to be sanctified by a holy resting all that day, even from such worldly employment and recreation as are lawful on other days, and spending the whole time in public and private exercises of God's worship, except so much as is to be taken up in the works of necessity and mercy. I will now talk of the works of necessity. Today, our daily economy of life is quite changed. There is a regular cooking in a college. 5 full days of full feeding on Saturday and Sunday. The college cook doesn't work, so the students have to fend for themselves. But I'm very grateful for the college because I get 5 days of regular meals. When the college is on vacation, then we can't tell. And then it all depends on our arrangement, and sometimes we have no meals, and we have got to go out and buy something in. It's very irregular. More so on Sunday. There is a group that teaches that you must have Sabbath for the outside people, and you don't cook. And you don't eat outside, but you cook yourself at home. But Sunday is a very busy day of service for the Lord. So I pose a question. Suppose I'm going to Kota Tinggi to teach Sunday school this afternoon, and there is no time for me to cook at home. Can I, while stopping at the Johor Bahru bus station, quickly snatch a sandwich and a Coca-Cola to eat? This churchman replied, "No, that is breaking the law. You are making the people outside to cook for you, and they are breaking the Sabbath." But our reply, as it is practiced in America, the Americans all eat out. And we say we break no law because they are not Christians. And they have no Sabbath law. So we tongpang them, using a Malay word, we sort of take a leave. That doesn't hurt. He said, "No, we must keep the Sabbath to the extent of the Old Testament." But the keeping of the Sabbath between now in the Christian church and the Old Testament, there surely are differences. The spirit is the same, but the practice cannot be exactly. Works of mercy, healing somebody, curing somebody on the Sabbath day, is such an urgent matter. By way of illustration, we have in Kenya, in a clinic, we have a nurse, but we have no doctor. But it happened that day that Dr. Patrick Tan, the founder of the mission there, was present, and a man came in with a swollen arm, groaning, but the doctor used a small knife and one cut released 250 cc's of pus and bad blood. Immediately he was relieved. He was so happy, "I'll give to the clinic a goat." That shows when Jesus healed on the Sabbath day, it really relieved a lot of pain of suffering. But the Pharisees said, "No, today is the Sabbath, you cannot work." And Jesus said, "Suppose a sheep fell into the drain. What would you do? Don't you go there and save the sheep out of the drain?" The Pharisees have no answer, but they still say no. But this one would be rather humorous. Here is a mother groaning. Labor is near. What time? Sunday morning. And then you say, "Oh, no, no, please wait until Monday." Works of necessity and works of mercy must be done and cannot be prohibited. The poor mother will be suffocated. The poor mother, "I do not know. I'm not a woman. I don't know what it is, childbirth. I've always said that. But I think it is a very grave barrier to cross between life and death." So Jesus had shown the way. But here is an important point I'd like to examine and answer. I'd like to comment on spending the whole time in public exercises of God's worship. This statement of the Shorter Catechism means that the church must, not, by way of practice, not only have a morning worship, but it should also have a evening worship. But I've attended many of these evening services. I'd rather have a well-prepared sermon once than to have two half-baked sermons to divide up the energy and the spirit, and you would not have a very happy Sabbath with two half-baked sermons. But in London, there is this church not having a resident pastor. And somehow the committee members still drag in to have two services. While the morning service, you do not have a resident pastor. Sometimes you have some makeshift. And it comes to the afternoon or evening service, it is even worse. I told them to revert to one service. But they said, "We have already started, we cannot go backwards." But the evening service is attended by not more than 10 or 12 people. And even the Sunday morning service is attended by maybe 40 or 50, which is a very lamentable state of affairs. Well, in this respect, I have a very wonderful way of solving. I was in Singapore in the 1930s, and I came under the great blessing of Dr. John Soong, great evangelist from China who won several hundred thousands to the Lord throughout China and Southeast Asia. He was one who was most zealous for the propagation of the gospel. And so, out of the converts of over 1,500 in Singapore, thoroughly converted in tears and repentance, he marshaled together 100 preaching bands. A preaching band is consisting of two or three. And they made the covenant with the Lord to go out every Sunday afternoon. For having heard the gospel in the morning and having attended church, he persuaded them to go out preaching to the heathens, to non-Christians. And there were many good results. Well, I would recommend to this London church to stop the second half-baked service and to use the members in the morning who came in the same way as the preaching bands of John Soong to spread the word to the unbelievers or non-believers. I'm very happy with our members in Life Church. We followed Johnson's example and we started the preaching band, the evangelistic band, they call the E-band. And for a time they were very zealous. They would go house by house in these HDB flats to distribute gospel tracts. That is a wonderful work. In the same way, the FEBC, every semester, we have a gospel rally, and before the gospel rally, the students go out to give out gospel tracts. And one Japanese tourist got the tract, was so happy, she received Christ, and she wrote back to us, "I'm one of those who received a tract, and now I have believed." So in that, can never tell what God can do. The latest is the volunteering by a group of our young people. And they go to Johor Bahru and next to Kota Tinggi in good time to take advantage of a situation in Malaysia when they are now stressing the importance of English. So when we announce that we are having English Sunday schools, they come, particularly Kota Tinggi. And the latest report I heard was that during the Christmas season, many people came and over 20 accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is a very young Sunday school of only 3 months or so. Well, here is a contrast between the two Sabbaths. The Chinese Sabbath, according to Chinese culture, it's actually 3 days, which have now extended to half a month,
for construction workers.
But they have no hope beyond the grave. But the gospel message includes the judgment of God is appointed unto men once to die, and after that, the judgment. So no matter how they wish you prosperous new year, it is of no value to have just a bit more money. And when you die, you do not know where you are. But our Sabbath is one of a living faith and fellowship. We come here every Lord's Day to be reminded that we will live in the Lord's house forever. And also, we consistently worship Him and fellowship. And in the afternoon, if you are able to go out to Johor Bahru or Kota Tinggi, it is a marvelous provision, and the Lord has mightily blessed you. But here is a warning note. Many people come here maybe every week, but still you are not inside. The book of Hebrews chapter 4, you go home and read yourself, refers to the fact that there were the Israelites that traveled 40 years in the wilderness. But they were not believers. They had no rest. But there are those who believe they entered into His rest. This is not a weekly rest, but it is a lifelong rest. The two who had been wonderfully rewarded are Joshua and Caleb, who lived up to 110 years, and Caleb to 85 years, and still able to fight when he was 45 years ago. God will give you long life too, and a life of service and of blessing to others. May we choose to be like Joshua and Caleb. And if you are in a Chinese culture, all the more you want to get out of it to become a Christian. Let us pray. Almighty God, if there is anyone here still outside Christ, we pray Thee to have mercy and that You open his or her heart, that the weekly Sabbath they have is a time of enjoyment. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.